Welcome to Last Week in Gaming, where we talk about games we ran or played last week. I'm your host, Matt J. Let's get started. Last Week in Gaming and the Diceology Podcast and the 211 Show are made possible by listeners like you. Support my dream hustle at patreon.com, MattJ0, all letters. Let's make this our regular thing. Joining me today is Rich Rogers, co-host of the Plus One Forward podcast. We're going to talk about his massive week of running games last week.
Hey, Rich. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Hey, Matt J. It's good to be back, man. Thank you.
Happy New Year, because I haven't had a chance to say Happy New Year yet.
Oh, Happy New Year to you. 2022, man. Crazy.
I know, right? And it's already going by fast, man. My birthday month just flew by. I didn't get to do everything I wanted to do, but it was a good birthday month, so.
That sounds good. I'm glad you had a good birthday month. I've got 9 months to go before my birthday month.
So what have you been playing? How's your gaming week?
Oh, man, the last week for me has been a little crazy. I got a bunch of stuff. I've been playing new stuff and a lot of new stuff. It's great. The start of the month for me, because I run a lot of games on the Gauntlet, right. Usually I'm running games for a month on a particular day. So start of the month always has at least a couple games, but I am playing some games brand new to me. Not I haven't played this in a while.
Gotcha. Nice. So when you run stuff for the Gauntlet, do you always structure it this game for this particular month? And then maybe it's a different game the following month.
That's my default. I have run a couple of bi-monthly series where I post up the first month and then all of the attendees for that first month get priority seating for the next month. But if you're like, oh, I can only do September, I can't do October, Right. Then I re-solicit the empty slots out to the rest of the Gauntlet. But generally the default is one game for a month, or sometimes I'll split it. It's like a really small game, doesn't feel like 3-4 sessions would work, then I'll run it 2 and 2.
That's a thing I want to do more of on the Gauntlet side, start running more regularly out there.
Good. I love it. People speak glowingly of Matt J, the GM.
And I find when I run stuff, the crowd, the group is always fantastic and the sessions are always great. And some of my best game, my Twilight 2000 game came out of the Gauntlet.
It's a wonderful community. I adore it. It's hard to imagine stepping away from it. It's great. Should I run through my gauntlet of games that I've played in the last week, Magic?
Yes. So let's do the gauntlet of games.
On Tuesday and Friday of this past week, both of them were the new duet game that I'm running for my wife. So my wife and I, for the past few years, we've done what I call burst duet games. I think we talked about it before.
Yeah, no, we have. That's fascinating to me. I like that.
It's fun. We play for about an hour a couple times a week. And when you combo those together, it feels like a full session, especially since it's a duet. So it's me, GM, her player. And we have reached a chapter end for the Cortex Prime Star Wars game that we've been playing. Right. And I wanted to kind of step away from it. I don't think Cortex is really for my wife. She doesn't love the reaching into 6 different places to grab a handful of dice, rolling them, having to look at all of them and knowing the die type and counting it up towards there's a whole lot of handling that isn't really her thing. It breaks tension for her.
Right.
So with that chapter, we said, you know what, let's do something new. And she has always loved a particular game where she played a character. It started as a Monster Hearts game, then it became a Masks game with the same character, then it became an Urban Shadows game, and then it became a Dungeon World game, all the same character. Crazy, right?
It's crazy.
Crazy.
I got to hear about this character.
Her name's Melody. And so she started off as the Fae in Monster Hearts in a high school. Mm-hmm. And part of her thing was that she was literally a fairy princess here on Earth. So she went through that. And then we hit a wall. So we switched to Masks with this group. And my pitch for Masks just didn't work as much. It was kind of a monster hunting in modern day with Masks rules. And it just wasn't the best pitch, wasn't the best mix, but she wanted to continue playing the character. So then Melody, she played Melody going to college, and I shifted from Monster Hearts to Urban Shadows.
All right.
Kind of makes sense, right? You've got a Fae in Urban Shadows. She loved the character. She loved the setting that we cooked up together in New York with her going to a dance school. But Urban Shadows is really about like cooking deals and
right, and
it's very street level. And she wasn't super interested in that. So I found her kind of walking away from mechanics. So the game started to flag for us. And I was like, okay, here we have a couple of choices. We can either put this to bed, or you've got this whole fairy kingdom she's from. What if she has to go to the fairy kingdom and we just run it as a dungeon world game? She loved that idea. We played that for a couple of years, and I finally, she hit 10th level. She maxed out all of her stats.
Right.
She was having fun because she never rolled a miss. I just felt like it was a game on easy mode. And I'm like,
right.
It felt arbitrary if I ever did anything bad. So I said, let's come to a close with it. And when we ended this chapter of Star Wars, I said, I don't want to go back to Dungeon World. She said, but I'd love to play Melody or play that story. Of course she did, right? She loves that character.
Right. She's
very story oriented, and I'm a little mechanics oriented. Well, what if you play a legacy character like one of Melody's children? And buddy, she just like blew up with excitement.
We
spent that night, we're just laying in bed. She's like, what happened to this character? What happened to this character? Okay, so this much time would have passed. It's like 24, 25 years because she would have waited a year to have her kitten. Like all this stuff, just rattling it off.
Wow.
She's on fire to play this character. And this week we kicked it off. I'm like, I really want to play Stonetop. So I just took the Stonetop rules, dropped it into a document and tweaked a couple things. So it was oriented around a solo player.
Right.
And said, here are the rules we're playing by. And she's like, okay, that's great. No problem. And we kicked that off with her character playing her character, Ayla, the daughter of Melody, her long-term character. And I love it. Wednesday, very excited because Jesse Ross, who's the creator of Trophy Dark, Trophy Gold, Girl Underground, he's local to me here in the Twin Cities, and I begged him to be part of the game group because now we're all vaxxed and ready to meet face to face. We have a bi-weekly game, and I brought the game we were playing to a close. We ran some Lady Blackbird, and he said, I'd like to try out Vampire 5th Edition. And I cut my teeth on D&D, but I really learned how to run a game with Vampire.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. Vampire is a very soft spot in my heart for Vampire. It was the game during college. Like most of my college, we were playing Vampire. But that was first to second edition, right?
Right.
Like kind of 2.5-ish according to how you want to edition war fight it out. But I had not. I've been story gaming it up. I haven't vampired at all. And so this is the first time I've played a vampire character. Not on the game since the literal 90s.
Wow.
Yeah. And Jesse's pitch, which he told us ahead of time, we got to pick the clan type of vampire we wanted to play. His pitch was that the Sabbat were a bunch of Sabbat. I don't know how everybody says it different. The Sabbat, a bunch of come running through, embrace a ton of people, and then take off. And that's how our characters came to be. What's weird about my experience with Vampire is that it was such a solid part of my life. And I was, sorry, but I was a forever storyteller, right?
Right.
So my mental understanding of a vampire was based off me running it. So when Jesse plays the prince, which is the elder leader of the city, as kind of like a doddering grandfather who's like slightly confused, I was like, wow, this is so blowing my mind. I'm used to like pomp and circumstance and just a little bit of cattiness from all my elders, you know, because that's my vibe. That's how I did it. But seeing it from, I'm like, oh, wow, that is totally, I'm into this. This is way different than I ever would have done it. And thank God I get to see. That's why I love playing games, not just being the forever GM. It's like, I only knew what I knew. And Jesse's like showing this whole other world. Like, you can do straight up horror with vampire. And sometimes your vampires will be, have foibles, even though they're super old. It was great. It was really cool.
That is great. That is fantastic.
Jump forward to Thursday. That's our Twitch game.
Yes.
Bounty of the Week.
Where I get to play an unkillable ex-stormtrooper.
You're so badass. Just, your stormtrooper is so scary. I love him because he's trouble, man. And
he is trouble.
And he's trouble because he's just this unkillable monster who also doesn't get it sometimes.
Right, and right.
You set up the hunt that we led into or bled into this session. It was like you gave me a gift, like, oh man, this is January and you're giving me my Christmas present. Is it early, late? I don't care. Thank you. And that was the perfect setup. That was so cool.
Nice. Nice. I don't know, man. I think anymore I've GM'd enough that when I'm a player, I trust the GM. Here you go. Right. Here's what I'm interested in. And you run with that. Right. Yeah. I don't surprise me. I don't want to. No, you nailed it. Yoon, he's naive outside of the stormtrooper ranks, right? And he's not real sure where he's going, right? But his talent is combat, right? And revenge. And so the rest is just messy. So, and that's been fun.
I think it's a really bold choice to have Yoon as ex-stormtrooper, but a smart choice for me being able to engage with the character by making him naive. Like, if he was all up in some imperial business and was mad that the rebellion had won versus, oh, well, this is the propaganda and I don't know. I just know my team. Those are two tonally very different kinds of characters. And I appreciate where you've taken Yoon because I can pull for him.
Right.
You know, I do pull for him. The dice don't always pull for him.
No, this is fun. The Twitch game has been fun. I'm interested to see. I think we're scheduled through February.
Yeah.
I want to see Misha turn to the dark side. I want to see her do
more dark side stuff. Hard. I need to push her harder. Hey, everybody who's listening to Mad J's show, the playbook that we have for someone who is tempted by the dark side has some force powers. Me and Will, who's from the Gauntlet, we're co-developing this hack of Monster of the Week that is Bounty of the Week. And he named it the Sensitive. It's the spooky. If you've played Monster of the Week, it's the spooky, but recolored with some cool dark side stuff. And the Sensitive makes sense from a Star Wars perspective, force sensitive, the sensitive. But when I hear the sensitive, I'm always like, oh, stop it. Sensitive. So Mad J listeners, if you're like, oh no, the playbook should be named this, comment. I will read it because I would love to have different. I've tried like 10 different names and they're none of them are better. So that's where we're at. All right, speed round. We're gonna jump into the weekend. Mad J, I actually have Friday off, although that's right, I did have the duet game.
Oh, the duet game. Yeah
Saturday morning, I kicked off a short series, just three sessions of set in Star Wars because it's me. Rascals. Have you heard of Rascals before?
I have not.
I found it, as I find a lot of small press games, during a drive-through sale.
Okay.
It is a playing cards, like full deck of 54 because Jokers are in. 54 card-based game, RPG, where you play retired Spec Ops folks that have been pulled back into the game. So got a little like Born Identity vibe to it, but also possibly a little A-Team going on because you have archetypes that can totally be BA and Hannibal and
Faith
and all that good stuff. And we recolored it for Star Wars. So they were ex-Rebel operatives who were pulled into the New Republic to do a thing. And it was one of those. Playing cards for me has always been, I get it, but I don't love it. But right. This game did a good job of creating, the best I could describe it is almost like a cards-based Cortex game, in the GM flips a card or a couple cards, they'll pick based on the difficulty level, either picking a certain number and picking the highest or the lowest. You flip that out on the same time as they grab a card out of their hand. Right. Then once those cards are shown, it's a little bit reversed from Cortex, because Cortex, you're building your pool, but right. you can play with the card. So you can spend a resource to like increase the value of it, or you can pull in some help, or you've got these other. So it's got some bits where you can play with those values that gives you right. that RPG-ish feel. Right. But it's a pretty simple system of like, is this easy, medium, or hard? Flip some cards, bam. And there's that excitement because we're using playingcards.io. So we've got two decks of cards and we're like flipping at the same time and I'm sharing screens. So there's a little bit of that tension that you get from a card game.
Nice.
And both of us flipping at the same time, it's exciting. I'm surprised at how much fun I'm having with it. It's cool. One of the players, Cody, said afterwards, he goes, you know, before I never thought our playing cards would be my kind of thing, but maybe it's totally my thing.
Nice.
Saturday afternoon is the continuation 17th session of a Blades in the Dark reskin.
Nice.
That my buddy Anish is running. It's Stars in the Dark. It's literally just a reskin of Blades in the Dark. So right. why not Scum and Villainy? Great game. He wanted to have that street level gang stuff going on.
Right.
So he just reskinned Blades because that's where he wanted the game to be versus right. Scum and Villainy, where you're like flying around and going on.
Right. And no, I can see that. I can see that.
We're 17 sessions in. We've made tier two. So our gang's getting up there. This is set during Imperial era. It's on Coruscant, down in the level 1313, so in the underground. And we were at war with tier four, the Imperial Garrison, yeah. and tier four StreetSec, which is street security, also okay. Imperial. One tier two at war with two tier four factions. We've been picking fights and not caring about heat, just being, we're rebels, pew, pew, pew. And it hit the point where Undish started the game and he said, guys, I want to talk to you for a minute about this game, because I'm looking at what is set up against you and what you've got. And here are the clocks. We have like six clocks of different places where they're trying to discover our hideout, or they're going to get into this thing, or find out who's the kid of Kai's character, all these other threats that are coming in and just pointing right. at us. He said, here's the thing. I don't see how you guys can continue to play the way you're playing and us continuing to play this game. It was a very honest conversation. I have to be true to my prep. And I am telling you, you guys are completely screwed. What do we want to do about it? And it wasn't right. I'm ending the campaign. Right. And we had an hour-long conversation about do we want to tilt this? Do we want to play until it burns out? And do we want to port to a different game? Like, we talked through all the permutations. At the end, we came to the decision, hey, let's play this out to the point where our game effectively becomes insolvent. So we're playing through that tragic end of that gang. Gotcha. With the hope that whoever is left picks yeah. up the pieces, starts as a brand new tier one crew, learn their lesson, lick their wounds, and come at it a different angle. And then he proceeded to play us through two tier four factions that were just coming at us left, right, and center.
Right.
Like, friends are getting questioned and pulled in. Folks are getting arrested. They're tapping every conversation we're having. Someone's tapping. It was so tense. Mad Jay, it was just, I'm biting my nails. I'm like, my character's going to die. I literally had a scene where my character was talking to the newest member of the gang and said, so I think I should turn myself in and tell StreetSec that I did all this stuff. Like, they'll get out free. We're not getting out of this hole. Something's got to go down. You're too young. You're too new. and this person is too slick, and they don't even have pictures of her, but I've been the beef stick that's like my Ratataki. She has just stuck her nose in every fight. She is known. There are wanted pictures of her, hollows of her all over. I'm like, I'm just going to turn myself in. That's all I see, because it just felt like the only way out. And right. They cliffhangered it with her right outside of the street sec office, just kind of pacing back and forth, trying to get up. The, like, is she going to go in or not? It was good. It was
wow.
Felt like The Wire. So fun. So fun.
Having that meta talk about where you want to take the game. That's fantastic that you guys sat down and did that.
Undish just handled it so very well. And then it one of those where he followed through with a conviction, like, right. Here is the threat you see. Do you want to go forward? It was right. Very meta, but then he just followed through, and it's tense. We're talking about like screwing over people to point the, it's just, it's a mess. It's a glorious mess. I'm just blown away. And he recorded that. So if you want, it's out on my YouTube channel to see, hey, how does a good GM have that open and honest meta right. conversation with us as a play group?
Right.
It's the kind of stuff that,
oh, that's nice.
I never had those conversations. I played a game until people stopped showing up.
So I learned to have those that happened today, man, in my Twilight 2000 game. We're at that spot where we could lose two or three characters. Not all in a bad way, but some could be at the end of their arc, right? Based on some decisions. I gave them what they wanted, and now we're at right. that spot. The game started with that conversation. What kind of game do we want to play? Are we looking at closing this out? Do we want to keep this group together, the characters together, keep playing this particular way? Because mm-hmm. We have to make some decisions, and we can make the fiction fit the game we want to play. Right? But if we just sit down and play today, I don't know where we're going to end up. And some people may not like that ending if we play to find out. Right?
Yeah. So, yeah. That is a weird tension of like play to find out versus, hey, we're grownups. Let's chart at least a little bit of a course. Like to set some guardrails for the kind right. of game we're going to be playing.
Right. Right.
It's interesting.
No, you're right. I don't. I wish I would have known that when I was younger. Right. Yes.
Why did you get returning my phone calls?
That's right. I used to have a group of five people. Now it's just me.
End of January, like 3 weeks into January, I'm playing this Saturday game that Will, co-designer of the Bounty of the Week reskin, he's running it. And he's so much meaner than me, which is just, it's just delightful. And I'm loving playing a scoundrel, which is the reskin of the Crooked. And he says, you know, I'm really having fun. Maybe I'll run this in February. And I'm like, oh man, I've already post my games 2 months ahead to the gauntlet. My Saturdays and Sundays were sewed up from 8 o'clock to like 4 o'clock, and he's GMT time zone. So, you know, 4 o'clock for him right. is midnight-ish.
Midnight,
yeah. It's like 11, but yeah. So I'm like, oh, we're going to do this, man. What are we going to do? I really want to play. And I'm like, all right, well, so like 11 o'clock your time is 5 a.m. my time. And if we started at 5 and play for 3 hours, that ends before my Sunday morning 8 a.m. game. So it's a bunch of folks in GMT.
Right.
And me.
And you.
I'm just doing it for February, darn it. I'm not going any further in. But yeah, I got up at 4 o'clock this morning so that I was like awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, ready to play. There and I played go. Will's. Yeah. Bounty of the Week, and I got to play Tags the scoundrel a bit more, and it was awesome. He's such
nice.
A
nice,
yeah, it was worth
nice.
It
nice.
Then immediately after, pretty much, I kicked off a new 3-session series of Gravity Rip. Have you heard of that one?
I have. You talked a little bit about it. That's the first time I've heard about it.
It's pretty dope. I gotta be honest, with all the stuff I had going on, I was a little short on time getting this game into my head. I'd created the character keeper from scratch because it didn't exist. The right. only AP I could find of it was the game designer running it, but there just was nothing to play it online. So I made a character keeper, and in that I was looking at the rules, but that was like 6 to 8 weeks ago. So a lot of it had kind of slipped out of my head. But basically, it's got two modes. It's got story mode, which is pretty much lasers and feelings. You got a single stat. I know it's lasers and feelings, but my heart says it's troll babe. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's fine.
You pick a number, and then you roll above or below that number based on what you're doing. And it's really simple, but it's gauntlet, so they're chewing up the story mode now. The other side is racing mode, because Gravity Rip is about a space racing game, like these anti-grav racers that are zipping around a track. And it's very much like it was a perfect fit to Star Wars, which, of course, is what I did for pod racing, just like the pod racing you remember from prequels.
Yes,
like butting up against each other and messing with each other's rides and zipping along in really dangerous hairpin turns and possibly dying. This game does that real, real well. Feels a little Mario Kart-y because like everybody gets pulled near the middle a little bit. So there's a whole lot of mess that's going on in the thing. And one thing I threw out that I don't think was in the game was like, okay, here's this track. Each of you tell me a hazard or a feature of this track you've heard about. And I like saying heard about, that way I can mess with it.
Right.
And woo, that's it. That's all I needed. They built the track of my dreams. I love playing with a goal. I love playing with players who are happy to add to that fiction.
You know? Right.
It was dope. We're talking about like a crazy bioorganically manufactured park, a electrical generator turret system. Like, this is wild. Sunday afternoon, Jen Kitzman, who's a real cool friend and designer, she loves the setting of X-Crawl. Now,
I do too.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it so cool? Yeah. X-Crawl is dope, man. It's one of those things that like is cool enough to have been around and never gone away. It was like a D20 thing.
Right.
And it was a Pathfinder thing, and now it's a DCC thing. And you could tell there's just enough love to keep it around, but it's also like that indie darling that's never going to get a pop, right. never going to chart. Never. Right. But if you can catch him at a bar, man, it's a great experience. That's X-Crawl to me.
Right, right.
And Jen was like, I love X-Crawl as a setting, but the game isn't really set up to explore that setting. And it's DCC, and I know you guys aren't going to play that. So she took a World of Dungeons hack and bolted on a little bit of Masks teamwork and some worldwide wrestling stuff to have kayfabe and like playing to sponsors, and it is a really dope setup. Because we mix in all kinds of reality show elements. Of,
right.
You know, there's break rooms in the middle of the dungeon because this is a quasi modern setting with TV and everything. And so you go through a few rooms and then you go into the break room and there's a ref there, and you got sponsored waters, and you go to the bathroom and you have these confessionals that we all had where we talked to the camera.
I love the confessionals. Yeah.
Oh, so good. It's a really, really cool idea. Jen's knocking out of the park with the gist of where she's headed with it. I think it's cool. I think it's cool.
That's fantastic. I had a great time. No, I do love me some X-Crawl. So that is good.
Well, when this thing gets banged into enough shape, maybe we'll play it sometime.
That'd be fantastic. That could be a Twitch thing.
It could be.
No,
it's not ready for prime time quite yet, but it's good. It's got potential.
Nice.
That's it. That's all I've played.
No, that's a big week, man. I get accused of running a lot of stuff, but I don't. I kind of alternate my weeks.
Right.
This is a big week. I played with you Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran probably 2000 and Legacy. Life Among the Ruins. It's only three games this week for me. So
that's good though. That's healthy. It's time to enjoy it and marinate it. You know, that's good. Three games a week. That's good. You can like watch TV. You can work out. You could sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at all the things you get.
Healthy living. I like it. Thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Anytime. Thanks, Matt Jack.
That's my show. Thanks for listening. Send your questions or comments to me at mattj@dysology.com. You can also reach me on Twitter @GoDysology. And if you're really digging me, become a subscriber at patreon.com/mattj0, all letters. Let's make this our regular thing.